Welcome to Modern Practice. I'm your host, Dr. Tom Villanueva, and today we'll continue our series on hospital-acquired conditions with Rick Beaver, Senior Consultant Director at Vizient. We're going to cover our battle against those conditions. Rick, welcome back.
Tom, thanks for having me.
So for our fifth and final part on this episode, let's talk about Clostridium difficile or C. diff infections, also referred to as CDI. Now, I understand there's new guidelines for the treatment of CDI. Is that correct?
That's correct. You can see it in the CDC, IHI, APIC, and SHEA, and also in a recent article, I think it was late 2020, in the Journal of Gastroenterology, where they summarized some of the new guidelines for the treatment of C. difficile with regards to when and what to provide as far as antibiotics, when to use fecal transplants, also some recommendations on laboratory testing. So there are new guidelines out there, and we try to incorporate those guidelines into all of the engagements that we have.
You know, in over 25 years of practicing medicine, this went from a condition of being burdensome to actually becoming lethal in my career, in addition to a wide variation in how to treat them. Can you actually provide us with some guidance on some of the insights for major causes of CDI right now?
Yeah. Before I started doing this work, my father-in-law was aging and he was in a nursing facility and he had a bout of C. difficile. And it was cleared up with antibiotics, and then he got another case, and then another case. And so when I started working in this area and really studying this, one of the areas was environmental cleaning. So what happened was, in the nursing home, he was infected by either a staff member that carried the spores to him in his room, or through congregation with other residents. But then once he got it, when I looked at the environmental cleaning of his room, they never did decontamination, even though they knew he had Clostridium difficile infection. And so what I did is, after learning in hospitals what the impact was, I decided to go up and I asked the EVS director, environmental services director, to join me while I completely pulled everything out of his room into the hall and cleaned down the room and used bleach in the bathroom and sprayed and then put everything back in and decontaminated the furniture. And that was the last case of C. difficile that he had. So this went on for 7-8 months, back to back to back to back infections. And so it showed me firsthand the impact of EVS practices in hospitals. And so how do hospitals, when they know they have colonized patients, some literature suggests that anywhere from 20 to 30% of incoming patients are colonized, not infected, with C. difficile spores. And if they're exuding those spores, how do you keep the environment down such that immunocompromised patients or somebody like my father-in-law would not then get infected with C. difficile?
Great insight.
That's just one example. So EVS is a big component of preventing the spread of C. difficile.
So you mentioned about environmental being big, but what are some other ways organizations can mitigate?
Well, that's an interesting question, because I'm dealing with first the EVS portion of it. So that helps prevent the spread. But what we're finding is, when a hospital gets assigned a hospital acquired infection, which means from the day that they are admitted, that the infection is detected after 2 days of being a patient at that hospital. If it's within 2 days, it is considered a community onset infection. What we found was, the way hospitals are doing sampling of patients, and in many cases, they're detecting C. difficile a little late, so the patient could come in community onset, and they don't detect it for a couple days. They send the sample after 3 days or 4 days. And if it tests positive for the toxin, the patient is considered infected, and it turns out to be a hospital-acquired infection, even though the patient had C. difficile infection at time of arrival. They just missed it in the assessment. They missed the signs and symptoms. And so what we've identified is a majority majority of hospital-acquired infections are actually community-onset infections. And so what we try to get them to do is reduce the number of HAIs and identify them as community onset. Now, some people will say, well, what does that do for us? Because all you're doing is moving the needle from an HAI to a community onset. Well, what we say is, just think about it. If you are able to detect C. difficile infection at time of arrival, at the initial assessment, it allows you to put those patients into isolation sooner. It alerts your staff of the infection, which makes them more aware of that issue, and they use the PPE appropriately. So then that prevents the spread. They're put into isolation, and then using the EVS techniques to prevent the spread, once identified, you can see then early identification is not just eliminating it from being an HAI, but it is helping to prevent other hospital-acquired infections from occurring because of early identification.
So that would actually then lead to the argument that we should be making more efforts towards outpatient antibiotic stewardship programs.
That is also an interesting subject. What we found is one of the other insights that we've learned, and this has to do with antibiotic stewardship, is in addition to trying to identify patients earlier with infection that would be community onset, there's a testing protocol that some hospitals are not aware of. And what they end up doing is testing patients that are colonized, not infected, but the way they do their testing, they have to report the patient that is colonized as an infection. Hmm. It sounds crazy. But then what happens is this. A colonized patient ends up going to a unit, goes into isolation, requiring nurses on every entry and all of the other caregivers and all of the EVS personnel and the dietary people to gown and ungown when you're leaving and washing with a soap and water in and out. The amount of time it takes to manage colonized patients that should never be, or in at least most cases, should not be in isolation. The amount of money and time is just amazing, but more impactful is if they are then reported as an HAI, but only colonized, some hospitals are giving antibiotic treatment to all of these colonized patients. Literature suggests that if you are colonized with C. difficile, but not infected, you have a resistance to getting the infection. I guess it's similar to us getting vaccinated for COVID, and we build up the antibodies and we have a resistance to a significant event. So the same thing is true here. However, if a colonized patient is given an antibiotic therapy, there's a chance that you can break that resistance, which could then make them more susceptible to becoming infected with C. difficile. So by combining EVS strategies with early detection strategies, with appropriate testing strategies, you can then reduce, to your question, Tom, the use of antibiotics and improve the stewardship of those antibiotics on further prevention of C. difficile. And so not only does that antibiotic possibly break the resistance, but again, when we were talking in a previous podcast about antibiotics and possible cause of surgical site infection, if you're giving additional antibiotics, are some of our patients building up resistance to these antibiotics that's going to require a more significant antibiotic in the future or help build resistance of these spores to antibiotics across the hospital that's really going to cause a future problem? So to your question on antibiotic stewardship, it's really important. One hospital that we just worked in had a 76% reduction in the use of antibiotics that were being given to colonized C. difficile patients that did not have a positive toxin, which indicates the infection. So I guess since it was only a 76% reduction, there were other clinical indications that required the antibiotic. So it was an interesting, significant reduction in antibiotics.
That's great insight. Any other final thoughts?
Tom, again, it's thinking about it in a multifaceted way. I think in the past, when I talk about past, it was as much as just last year, where hospitals were thinking that all of their HAIs, the hospital-acquired infections, were truly acquired in the hospital, and only now coming to light that a majority, I'm talking more than 50%, and in some of our hospitals, it's between 70 and 84% of their previously reported HAIs are actually colonized C. difficile, non-toxin positive, non-infected patients. And so thinking about it that way really changes the approach of care. And so I think hospitals across the board have come up with some great EVS strategies and some great cleaners and the use of ultraviolet equipment to help knock down any bacteria or any spores that remain in a patient's room on discharge has just been wonderful. And so I think that if they can catch them earlier, the use of the EVS protocol, I think you'll see over the next year or two, a significant reduction in the numbers of C. difficile infections that are reported by the NHSN and CMS.
All right. We'll stop right there. Excellent work. Thank you very much, Rick.
Thank you.
Well, that's all the time we have for this episode. If you'd like to contact Rick with additional questions, we've posted his email address in the resource section of our podcast page. And please join us for other Modern Practice podcasts on the Vizient Medical Leadership Channel. Subscribe today, like us, or send us your comments. Also, please listen and subscribe to SG2 Perspectives, podcast on the latest in healthcare strategies. I'm Dr. Tom Villanueva. Thanks for listening.